You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where writers and readers meet right here on LA Talk Radio. We're your hosts. I'm Bobby Jean Bell.
And I'm Jim Bell.
And we're happy, aren't we?
We are. It's our first broadcast, so we're kind of excited about it. Bobby, why don't you tell us about this music we just heard something about?
You know, I was tapping my toes. I hope you were too. Tonight being our first episode, we are full of our friends, and that was Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. I love Western Swing, and that was a little bit of Hot Texas, and they're just a phenomenal Western Swing Band. And Jim, why don't you tell us about what's coming up next? Tell us about the show.
About the show?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Is that on my script? Yeah, we got a great show for you tonight, folks. We got Courtney Jordan and we got Henry Park, both writers, screenwriters, entertainers to a degree. They're fun guys, and their knowledge of the entertainment business is awesome. You're really going to enjoy them.
Well, we're following right in the footsteps of Jim Christina, who was near and dear to our hearts. And if you're tuning in hoping to hear the writer's block, you are hearing the Rendezvous with a Writer doing our best to follow in his footsteps. And each week our guests will be an author or a poet or a songwriter, someone involved with the written word, and we'll talk about their latest project. And then just as we did on the writer's block, we'll talk about their process. And we have two friends, as Jim was just saying, with us tonight, and we're going to bring them on now. We have Henry Park. He's the Western Films editor for True West Magazine and writes Henry's A Western Roundup. And who else do we have?
Courtney Joyner. Award-winning writer of fiction, comics, screenplays. Over 25 produced movies to his credit, a member of several writing groups, including the Western Writers of America and Horror Writers of America. Horror. He was also a regular contributor to the Western Roundups of America's monthly magazine, The Roundup. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
I love seeing you in your locations. Henry, tell us about the room you're in. I know it's not a green screen.
No, it's my office. And as you say, when I would teach from here during the Zooming for LA Unified, kids would frequently ask me to go up and move books off of shelves and open them just to prove that it was not a projection of some sort. But this is where I do all my writing, as much as I do.
And Courtney, I know you're in your special spot. Do you want to tell us what we're seeing all around you?
Well, unfortunately, this special spot is just kind of, I guess, an extension of my living environment. So everywhere you turn, you're going to be met with monsters or Clint Eastwood or something in my environment. I guess the nicest thing, though, if I can ever get this straight with how my, there we go. That shelf, you can barely see, it's four shelves high. That's all me. That's all my books, my movies, all the commentaries and stuff, many of which I've done with our good friend. Where is he? There he is.
Right there.
Mr. Henry Park. So those are the bookshelves of shame right there. And then all the rest is, Mysterious Island and the Wolfman, and there's Sherlock Holmes from this point all the way to the bathroom. Oops. that way. And, all right. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea starts, and Where Eagles Dare, and oh, good heavens.
It's a very magic place to be in. So tell us a little bit about how you two met. Tell us about, yeah, how did you two meet?
I'm pretty sure Eric Spudek introduced us, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Eric used to run this place, Eric Spudek's Movie Empire, which was a video store a couple of blocks from my house in Van Nuys. And I would walk by there with my dog all the time and started hanging out there, looking at all his amazing selection of DVDs. And I guess back then it was still tapes, a lot of tapes too. And he kept saying to me, "You've got to meet my friend Courtney. You guys had so much in common. You'd get along great." And eventually, and I should say, this place was not just a video store. It was, I mean, it's not like a Blockbuster's. It was more like a salon of crazy film people. And that eventually he pulled us together. And I'm sure it's some sort of a strange screening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was one really neat little store. Eric trying to get rid of his VHS collection, and which now, you know, it's insane what those tapes are now going for. But it was perfect because it was sandwiched between two bail bonds places because we were right by the Van Nuys courthouse. So, and we'd wander in there and look at old movies. And eventually Henry and I started talking about Westerns. And there you go. Legends were born.
Legends were born.
In our minds.
And we... we all met through the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival and the Buckaroo Bookshop.
Right.
And Courtney, I remember the first time we were with you was with Miles Swarthout.
That's right. Miles was the one who brought me to you guys. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then Henry, I'm actually not able to remember exactly when we met. I just feel like we've known you forever. And of course, you both had a relationship with the writer's block. Do you want to talk just for a moment about that radio show and how we were maybe all together on that first episode?
Well, you know, this is really, I mean, it's so generous of you guys to invite us here because I was the first guest that you had on the original writer's block. And that was so great. And Jim, Christina, of course, we'd all come out for Santa Clarita, the Cowboy Festival, and to sign under your auspices and the great tent for Out West. And it was wonderful. And Jim was like the instant fast friend, the instant older brother everybody needed. And just this, I always say he really was like this force of nature. Because when he came at me and said, "Well, come on, you're going to be the first guest." I'm like, "I am? Yes, you are." And so it was kind of like, "Oh, great." And you just got carried along. And he was so great with that stuff. And so, honestly, Bobby, because you and Jim have been so terrific in your total, complete support of writers and their efforts. It's really, you're just, you guys are like a mom, like, you know, top of the mountain here, really.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I remember I did a signing at the store.
Oh, yes.
Santa Clarita.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And we did all those really cool special events and the one where we read our stories. And you had that wonderful girl who did the violinist who did all the was on all those great movie scores and everything. And it was just to accompany. And it was just great. And then we all went to dinner at that diner that they used in Justified when Mads Bennett told off the entire town. So it was just, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
But it was just wonderful. And the experience was great. And Jim was so, as I said, he was just this force of nature about writing and the process and being supportive because he was a wonderful writer himself and he wanted to share that because I think he didn't always feel like he got the boost that he needed. So he wanted to make sure other people did.
That's true. That's true. And Henry, you were on the writer's block the first Thursday of every month. So welcome to first Thursday of August.
Thank you.
And we're so delighted that you will continue to file a report the first Thursday and perhaps stay with us with our guest throughout the 50 minutes. And I just remember it was always fun to just have you catch us all up on what was going on with film. In fact, do you want to take a moment and catch us up on what's going on with film?
Well, let's see. The most notable thing is that the Scorsese Western we've all been waiting for, that they keep pushing back a month or two. Now they've said that it's not going to be released until 2023, which is Killers of the Flower Moon. Did I get the title right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't quite understand the title, so I've been messing it up frequently. But yeah, you're sneaking in on me here because I wasn't expecting to do it.
I know.
I don't have a lot of things. I do want to say that when one of the things that I always enjoyed so much with Jim, because I did not see him regularly, especially when he left town, mm-hmm. I would be with him on the show the same time, Bobby, that I'd be with you for like 5 or 10 minutes every fourth Thursday. And what I quickly learned when I was updating what was going on in the world of Westerns, to always have some questions in there, to not just say, here's what happening, story one, story two, story three, but, and what is your favorite Audie Murphy movie? Or who knows, does anyone know who played that part, was supposed to play the part that Bruce Dern did, or whatever? And 90% of the time, he knew all of that off the top of his head.
He knew off the top of his, yeah. Yes, and you and Jim and Courtney know Western film like nobody, maybe our friend Dave Bischoff too. No, Western film like we just sit and listen. I sit at the feet of the masters and just listen because we don't know. So always fun to have you both share.
One great thing with Jim, I just wanted to interject, and the poor guy, I used to just inundate him with questions because people are so used to talking to him about his Westerns and everything else. Many folks didn't realize how deeply involved he was in the automobile industry. Mm-hmm. As you know, he had the license to reproduce Steve McQueen's Mustang from Bullet.
Yes. Sure.
And so with one breakfast, boy, we went all through that. And of course, you know me. Oh, tell me how Chad McQueen tried to screw it all up. And he did.
So. Well, and you know, when he would talk with Gus, and you remember this from when we were in the studio together, it didn't it seem like he'd been everywhere they were, and he'd lived where they lived. He'd been, you know, I'm always amazed. The Renaissance man, he just did it all, and he'd been everywhere, and we miss him. We miss him very much.
You know,
yeah.
One time, he was kind of, we had some cases, some of our background was a little similar, you know. Our home life, you know, around the dinner table wasn't quite like Ozzie and Harriet. So we know that some of those arguments always ended up hurt feelings, at least in my house and his, because we talked about it. Mm-hmm. But one thing was interesting, he wrote a number of books, of course, as we know. One particular was Jonah Blue, mm-hmm. about the Mountain Man. And it was a good book. But what, you know, probably more impressive to me was the epilogue he had at the end of the book, which had nothing to do with Jonah Blue. It was a story of about a soldier in 1970 in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And that soldier was him. Mm-hmm. And he had 12 days to go before they got him out. And he, one thing he was most worried about was being shot before he got out, because it happened to a lot of fellas. They come near the end of their term, and all of a sudden they wait, okay, tomorrow I'm leaving. They didn't get to leave.
Yep.
So I thought that was quite interesting, because, you know, he really never talked about that, mm-hmm. you know.
Not much.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I think this would be a great time to take a short break. And Richard Polinelli, who was a co-host with us for a long time and was Jim's partner in Tuscany Bay Books Publishing, we're going to hear an update from Richard about Tuscany Bay Books, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Richard Polinelli with Tuscany Bay Books. And if you're a reader looking for the next best adventure for your summertime reading or, you know, coming up on the winter, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com and check out our amazing bookshelf filled with books by some of the best authors out there in science fiction, fantasy, mystery thrillers, westerns, you name it. We've got something for you to read. And if you're an author who has just finished your manuscript and you're looking for a publisher, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Fill out our submission form. We'll take a look at it and we'll see if we can get you published and get you doing what you should be doing, which is writing your very next book. TuscanyBayBooks.com, that's your place to go if you're a reader or a writer. And now back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, we are with our guests, Henry Park and Courtney Joyner. Henry, this is the most recent issue. We're waiting to get the next one, but this is the July-August issue.
But enjoy this one in the meantime.
And there you go. And you both had a connection with True West. And, of course, Henry is now at Courtney. You were at one time the film editor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Henry moved into the position. Yes.
Yeah. One morning, Court woke up with a terrible headache, and I was running. No. What happened really was Court had gotten very busy with writing commitments in addition to True West. Tell me if I'm telling this right. And thought that he needed to step back and concentrate on his other writing. And he very kindly recommended me to the good folks at True West.
Well, we had a wonderful editor then. And Henry's being extraordinarily generous because I knew he would just absolutely kill it. But I was also kind of lobbing a grenade into his lap because at the time I was the TV movie editor at True West. There was, I mean, Westerns, forget it. I was like, you know, calling people on the phone saying, have you watched a Western at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, there was absolutely nothing to write about at all. And I thought, okay, let's have Henry have that headache while I do these other things. And then the next thing, you know, True Grit and all this other stuff. So it all worked out.
So we can credit Henry with that. Henry, you had something to do with getting the Western.
Yes.
I entirely rejuvenated the genre myself.
And you've done a fine job.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. And I'm waiting for the residuals. So far, you know, nothing.
Bobby, I know Bobby's got a question, but let me shoot one in here.
Yeah.
I've always been a little curious, and I don't quite have it set in my mind. You know, I don't know why after all these years, but say that the magazine's coming out on it's going to hit the newsstands on 7/29, okay? That's July the 29th for the, but maybe the August issue. When do you have to submit your article? When's your deadline?
Well, it's funny because it has changed to a degree. When I started, and I guess I'm into my seventh year, I think it was about at least 2 months ahead of time. Court, do you remember the specific?
Shifted around. And one of the things that does actually shift publication around actually is the practical printing deal that the magazine has with whoever is going to be manufacturing the final issue.
Right.
So some printers need it way in advance. Others can do it a week in advance. It doesn't, you know, but I know that whenever I've been asked to write a magazine article, they will tell me, okay, this is for the August issue or whatever. That usually means absolutely nothing because you can pick up a magazine in December and it'll say August on it. And it's just like, what does this mean? And I've never been able to decipher that. So I just always.
Well, that's good. I thought it was just me.
Yeah, it's so puzzling. I just go ahead and just, they say, yeah, we need this a week from Thursday. So yeah.
That's the thing. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how many emails I send to Stuart or my editor saying, when exactly do you need this? Because, and of course, orders for the sequence of stories changes all the time, depending on what news is breaking, what events happen. True, it is a monthly magazine, so it's not like a daily newspaper, but stuff does happen and things shift around. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I can tell you is about halfway through the year, Stuart Rosebrook, my editor, asks me to come up with a list of potential articles for the following year. Okay. And so I'll come up with, I think there's actually 10 issues a year, and I'll come up with at least 15 ideas. And he'll usually have quite a few of his own. And so we start sorting through and say, well, can we actually get to talk to this guy and so on? So we need to juggle it around. But as a general rule, I need something in at least a month before it's going to hit the stands. And sometimes, traditionally, it's been more like 2 months.
Okay. You guys have a question. Well, you answered another question I was going to ask you, which was, you know, how do we decide what we're going to write? Do you get to choose everything, or do you get some subjects that they want you to write about? And you answered that very well. Right. So that's
Just one thing about when I do things that they want me to do. For instance, when I started out with them, one person I wanted to talk to was James Drury, the Virginian.
Okay.
And they said, that's a great idea, only I just could not get him to commit. Then there was a charitable event that he was involved with, and he wanted the attention. So then he goes to True West, and they went to me. And so I got my interview. So sometimes, sometimes their influence gets it. Sometimes it's a matter of the subject wanting it.
So when you do, like, for instance, this issue, which I really enjoyed reading, I always enjoy reading your column, but with sort of tonight in mind and writers in mind, this issue talks about an Western fiction author, Lee Martin, and there are some wonderful photos. You know, there's some photos from a couple of the films, and there's a book cover. Who do you have to get that art, or how does that get released, and how much time do you have to have when you're putting an article together to be sure you have the proper pictures and the proper releases, if releases are needed?
Right. As far as the art goes, and I think the answer was going to be different with Courtney, because I think he was much more hands-on with that than I am. But I do the writing, and I wish them luck getting pictures. If I know that they particularly need pictures from a particular movie and they're having trouble getting it, I'll certainly go to the subject or whoever, you know, are their representatives and try and do it through them. But 99% of it, it's my editor, who is very good at finding those.
And about how many words, a word count is it for an article?
Okay. Your average word count for True West is 800 words.
800 words. If they add pictures, they know they're going to need extra space because it's 800 words plus whatever.
Plus a certain number of pictures they're figuring it. Right. And also there's a video review each time. And until recently, those were 70 words, which was pretty hard to get too much in. You know, you cram as much info as you can in there. But now I've been allowed to expand it to from 100 to 125. And that's much better. You might think that writers would figure, wow, the less I can do, the better, because you're getting more per word. But really, it's so much harder to write short than it is long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd always rather have more words.
Yeah, I'm looking at one of the pictures here. I wonder who you must have a photographer take some of these, because these obviously are not, you know, pictures from archives.
No.
And this is the last shootout. And you're using an assembled cast, which means, I guess, it's all the same people used quite often together. And I see a picture of Peter Schreiko.
Our friend Peter Schreiko.
I only mentioned this because he was at a lot of our Sacramento.
I think he was at every one.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah.
And we're in touch all the time. But, you know, of course, I got to write for True West. Really, the way I got into this whole thing as a writer was writing Henry's Western Roundup, my Western blog that I started in 2010. And the very first person to really help me and get me on a set was Peter Schreiko. When I had just started doing this, the first thing I went to was a Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. And about the first person I met with was Peter Schreiko, and just started chatting. And he said, well, you've got to come to my ranch and you've got to come on to, you know, see things. And I remember I did a photo and interview thing at his ranch, did an article in the Roundup. And a few weeks later, he said, we're going to be on location at Melody Ranch. Would you like to come in and, you know, cover it? So that's how I got onto my first set. And he told me, you know, that article that you wrote, that got me this job. That's why I invited you.
It's a small world, isn't it?
It really is. And he has been terrific, providing access and, you know, arranging for actors that would be in things that he was working on to talk to me. That's right. Like how I got to speak to Chris Christopherson comes immediately to mind.
Wow. Okay, it's time for another ad. And we were talking about the Buckaroo Bookshop and such. And so let's hear a little something about Out West Shop.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out outwestshop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer on LA Talk Radio. And by the way, when you shop at outwestshop.com, use coupon code RADIO and save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more. And we're back with Courtney, yes, and Henry. Let's see, where do we want to go next with our two guests?
Where do we want to go next?
Well, I think maybe we should talk to Court a bit now. But Henry, stay here. Don't go away.
Okay. Wow, I just noticed I didn't put my last name on there.
Well, we all just, yeah.
Courtney. There's only one Courtney.
I'm putting it on with a Sharpie.
So, Courtney, you have written a lot of books. I only have a very small number here. Of course, one of my favorites is Nemo Rising.
Oh, good Lord.
I just love this book. And the cover is fabulous.
Oh, that cover was just sensational, yeah. Yeah,
and then who doesn't love Shotgun?
Oh.
So you have a couple of new books that have recently come out. One is, we'd like you to chat a little bit about each of them. One is Perspectives of Elmore Leonard, Conversations with Authors, Experts, and Collaborators. Would you tell us a bit about that book?
I was really flattered when they asked me to do that because obviously, I didn't know Elmore Leonard well, but he was incredibly kind to me and very supportive when I included him in my book, The Westerners, and in fact, promoted the book. He really liked that interview, and the family kind of kept me in the loop. And even when I was writing about Justified for True West and whatever, I had their cooperation. And later on, they even made sure I was invited to the memorial ceremony here in Los Angeles. So very, very nice. And that interview was done around the time, and Henry was involved with this also, when I produced a set of Randolph Scott Westerns on Blu-ray for Mill Creek Entertainment for Columbia. And we did a commentary on The Tall T, which is based on the Elmore Leonard short story, The Captives. And I was very lucky because I got Greg Sutter, who had been Elmore's researcher for like 35 years, to do the commentary with me and talk about Elmore's writing process and all of that stuff. The fact he had never been on a horse in his life and had rarely left Michigan and all that, just wonderful. And he, so that was great. And so I was able to contribute to that book, which discusses his entire writing career, of course, but they asked me to, comment on his westerns, both in fiction and in the movies.
So when you wrote that, the process for you on that, Henry, Courtney, I'm sorry. I get you both confused because we just love you so much.
we're just too good looking. I know.
I'm so glad your names are down there. That will help. Helps me out. So how far in advance were you asked, and how did that deadline work, and what was that process like for you?
Oh, for the Elmore Leonard thing was an interview they did with me, and then the book took from the interview to publication maybe 2 years.
Oh, okay.
I think that was right. Andrew, he had so many books in different stages of development and what have you, and it was kind of, you know, this was on the slot for between other projects and stuff. And then I think I was about right. Yeah. But that's not unusual.
And that's McFarland, McFarland Publishing. Yeah. And then we know that you love, as much as you love the Westerns, you love horror. I think you may love horror even more than Westerns.
My heart is clean too.
And yeah. So there's a new book, A Scary Little Christmas, A History of Yuletide Horror Films, 1972 to 2020. Did you know there were that many Yuletide horror films?
No.
No.
I didn't. I had to read it, you know.
So how did this one come about? Again, but in McFarland Publishing.
Well, this was another kind of interview situation. I didn't realize, quite honestly, that Christmas had worked its way into so many of the horror movies I'd written, going all the way back to the very first film. I co-wrote a movie that starred Vincent Price, and it was an anthology. And the first story, Clu Gulager and his wife have this rather, play brother and sister and have this rather bizarre relationship, but it takes place at Christmas time. And I'd forgotten that. And then I had Christmas and all these other films, including one of the Trancers movies and all these crazy things that I had done over the years. And Christmas was always popping up. So they included me in the book, and we did a very nice interview, and very nice folks too. And boy, those guys, that's one thing. I would say this, that sometimes it can be real pain because you're trying to satisfy everybody, but Western fans and horror fans are equally ravenous and detail-oriented. And Henry, God help us if we get the caliber of a bullet wrong. And it's just, and it's the same thing. And the horror fans are so devoted, not just to the genre, but also the people who've made the movies, and especially the people who were in the movies and what have you. So they know their stuff. And I'm here, you know, gobbling ginkgo, trying to remember details of a movie that I wrote 30 years ago or something. Oh, and I'm like, oh yeah, sure.
Since we're talking about books right now, hold that thought. We're talking about books right now, and lots of different genres, from Western fiction to film to horror. Let's hear a little bit about Out West Shop's bookshop. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story. We love books, don't we, Jim?
We do.
You had a question that I asked you to hold. So go ahead and jump in with your question.
I had a comment. Listen to, you know, Courtney say, and if we use their own caliber bullet, you know, we hear about this forever. You know, I have a friend named Chuck, you know, he's a reenactor, a Western reenactor, and he does more military reacting instead of
Civil
cowboy.
War, I think. Mm-hmm.
But he knows all the gear. He knows all what type of vest they wore, what type of long coat, short coat, shirt, you know, that they would have worn in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, 1860s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And he'll say something about, well, that's what John Wayne wore in 46 in that movie. And I'll say, you know, Chuck, I got to take your word for it, man. I don't, you know. You know, he wore a scarf. I didn't, you know, I can't, well, it's a thicker one, you know. And if he's not wearing it, he says, once in a while, these guys don't do it right. And you kind of have to tell them. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I started fooling around with the idea of doing shotgun, one of the first things I did, and I was at a Western Writers Conference, is I sat down with a weapons expert and I told him about my crazy idea and would it, in fact, work? And he was great. And he said, yes, it would, but it would have to be a side swing loading double barreled shotgun that had only been made in Sweden at that time. And he said, if you use that, because the stock was very short, and he had this whole thing. So all this stuff about the straps around the shoulder and all this and how the thing triggered with the chain that he worked with his upper muscles, that was all directly from this gunsmith.
Well, you ought to make the point that he has no hand. That's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
His arm's been cut off. And so this thing is, you're right, and it's taken the place of his arm. And in fact, now the weapon that's on the jacket, my good friend Mike Tristano was the weapons man on the remake of 310 to Yuma. Okay. There it is.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
I told Mike what I was doing, and he said, oh, I know exactly what you need. So I go over there. He puts a sheet on the floor. That is the double-barreled shotgun that Peter Fonda used in 310 to Yuma. And we took pictures of it, sent that to Kensington. Then they Photoshopped it and turned it around and put it on the cover of the book.
Oh, what a great story. Yeah, what a great story. Well, you know, you mentioned a publisher's name just now, and I'm going to just segue real quick, and we only have a couple minutes on this subject before we get to our one big question. But there are some headlines going on about publishing right now. It's in the news. Chat on that for just a moment?
And Henry?
Well, I'm sorry. I know we're talking about the big merger, but I have not really had the chance to follow it as closely as I'd like, because I had a deadline yesterday.
All right,
I got my article in
to get published,
1,200 words or less. But you guys have to run with this one,
Court.
Well, you know, but it's like what we were talking about. This is the classic situation, just like when these conglomerates, AT&T buying Warner Brothers and everything in sight, it narrows the field of competition and opportunity. And I think the merger is a horrible idea, because we don't need less publishers or a more giant, you know, publishing house. We need more standalone publishers so that writers have alternate places to go with their work.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Just like we need more independent, but we need more places to gather to talk about books.
You know, sure. I guess that's why Stephen King was willing to testify mm-hmm. before Congress about this issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And look, King is in the $1 million advance club, has been for a very, very long time. But, you know, he's got an interesting attitude about this because remember, yes, he was one of the very first, certainly the very first major name to self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to afford digital publishing, because I believe wasn't the Green Mile was originally digitally published, was it?
It could be. I don't know. But
I think it was. And so he's always been very supportive of different avenues and not just the, if you will, the traditional way of getting books out there, mm-hmm. which is the hardback first, and then here comes the paperback version and all the rest of it. You know, these things now exist on all these different platforms, but also they should exist from all kinds of different publishing houses. And especially because each editor of any given house has a different taste than the editor at the next house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So some places are completely, this is the fantasy friendly place. This is a place where you go for children. This is a mm-hmm. place that wants to cover LGBTQ issues. Mm-hmm. This is a place that wants to, you know, go to other things. And so you need that variety because you've got a ton of writers writing about different things.
Right. Right. Okay, we're going to get to the question. I'm watching the countdown here. Yes, so you may remember that on the writer's block, there was only one set question we asked every show, and it's still as important as it was with Jim Christina. So, Henry, do you get writer's block? If you do, how do you get around it, over it, under it?
You know what? I think long ago I had a little writer's block, but my problem has always been getting the time to write. You know, it's funny. There's something that Lee Martin said in the article about how she didn't decide to be a writer. She had no choice. All of these things were in her head that she had to get out on paper. And that's very much how I've been. So it's not a matter of getting blocked. It's a matter of getting as much of it out as you can and still get some sleep.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. What about you, Court?
Well, I've been very lucky. My alcoholism is usually taking care of my writer's block. So.
I was going to say, and you don't sleep because you and I will often find each other on Facebook messaging at, you know, 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
That is true. For me, I think always with, and I'm like I should be wearing a crown because I'm like the king of procrastination. But it's also always that thing. I mean, if you've got an article deadline and things, I mean, you have to do it. You have to get it out there. And to me, the big motivator always is that check in the mail. But say like working on a novel or something like that, sometimes you get stalled. And it's never been too bad. And something suddenly will occur to me while I'm, you know, having a hamburger or walking around the block or something. But honestly, if you get stuck, just putting it in the drawer and watching a movie or doing whatever it is, usually if you don't think about it, the solution to what is stalling you can arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found that to be true. And it's, but sometimes with writer's block, unfortunately, you do have to power through because there's nothing like getting a phone call from an editor who's screaming at you. And, you know, you've had every one of your relatives die in the last like month and a half to push him off. And so, you know, you can't use that excuse anymore.
Do you each maybe quickly have a tip, something that you'd love to share with a new writer? Henry?
Well, you know, we had said before we were going to talk a little about magazine article writing. And one thing, you know, the heart of that for what I do is interviews. And my tip for writers that want to get into doing that kind of a thing, at least if it pertains to show business, is to go to events where you can meet people one-on-one. Court and I go to a lot of like Hollywood collector shows, autograph shows, things like that. And if you can find somebody whose work you admire, who you'd be interested in writing it, you know, about, the odds of having a chance to sit down and talk with them and arrange something is, you know, very strong. Just stalking the people that you're interested in to write about is what I would recommend.
That's a great tip. Yeah. That's a great tip. Court, what about you?
Tell me, Court, all the famous people that I've done this to.
Well, honestly, if someone's going to dive into this world of letters and frustration and all the rest of it, first of all, I'd say that, and this sounds so silly, but you've really got to love this to do this. Because the Stephen King level incomes and the James Pattersons and all that, and that is reaching for the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And so the amount of work, and this is the thing is, it's not just the hard work, but it is kind of this breadth of work that now, and this is part of the merger thing, so many publishers are owned by entertainment and media conglomerates. And you present something like I did with Nemo, as you know, that became a game.
It became a game. Mm-hmm.
You have to go in and be prepared. They're going to read your manuscript and they're going to say, wow, we really love this central cowboy character. Do you think it works for another 10 books? Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of gear yourself to thinking, okay, is this franchisable? What else does this company actually have their hand in? Are they involved with Warner Brothers? That could mean DC Comics. Are they involved with gaming systems, with streaming channels, with all of this stuff? This kind of area for this material can go and fit into any slot mm-hmm. for presentation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. even if it's not your area of expertise or anything else, now, unfortunately, editors, I think, expect writers to be prepared to shift gears and go to any media.
Right.
Because if it doesn't work, well, we're not really sure about this for fiction, but boy, this sure would make a great video game. And you go, oh,
right.
You know, and if you have no idea, so lie.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the clock and oh my goodness, we're almost out of time. How can people find you, Henry? How can people find you? Social media or Henry's right. Western?
Henry's Western Roundup, which as I used to say every time on Writer's Block, and you can read all about this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com. And so you can read a lot of my stuff there, and you can also leave me messages there.
Perfect. Great. And Court, how can we find you?
Right now, just a Facebook animal. So, yeah.
Okay.
Come on ahead.
And it's Courtney Joyner on Facebook. Yep. It's your full name.
Right? Yeah, I think it is.
I think it is. Yep. I think it is. Well,
I'm on Facebook too. I'm technically also on, gosh, one of the others. I can't even remember what because I never checked. So just go to Facebook if you're looking for me.
I'm on Twitter somewhere. A couple other.
Well, we really want to thank you both for
being fun and enjoyable
with us tonight. And we want to thank our listeners that are tuning in. And if you're tuning in the future, we thank you for listening. A big shout out to Sam Hassan and LA Talk Radio. Next week, August 11th, we're excited to welcome author Randy Samuelson Brown to the show. We'll be talking about her brand new book, Brand Chaser, Dark Range 1, the first of three books in the Dark Range mystery series. Do you know there's still cattle rustling going on in the modern West? Emery Cross, Brandon Spector is on the case. Tune in to get the story behind the story. And for the podcast of tonight's show, follow LA Talk Radio or Rendezvous with a Writer on Facebook, or visit our website, outwestshop.com. See Out West Live on the toolbar. And a thought to inspire, this one from Toni Morrison. If there is a book you want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it.
Ooh, that's cool.
On behalf of Jim and me,
thanks again, guys.
Till we meet again next week, go write something.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.